Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So Jesus is the good shepherd. And as sheep of his flock, we should know his voice. And we should. We truly do have a responsibility to come to know the voice of God, to hear it and to heed it. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, and all of you, it's not a mystery to anybody here, that it's Mother's Day today. So we remember that. And I know we may have a visitor or two here just because it's Mother's Day. And I was thinking about the voice of the Good Shepherd and what I was going to say today. And then the voice of mom. You know, what is the first voice that a child hears? Undoubtedly, it's the mother's voice. Even when the child is still in utero, can hear the mom speaking. And, you know, the voice of the mother, I'm sure, and from my own experience as a child, it's a tender voice. It is a loving voice. It's a voice of comfort, but it's also a voice of correction, a voice of discipline, a voice of encouragement, a voice of challenge, all of those things. And our mom's voices, we hope and pray, echo the voice of the Good Shepherd, because you know, we have a religious obligation to honor our mothers, to honor them, to seek to honor them. And so we remember that today. I'm going to talk about the voice of the Good Shepherd some, but before I get to the voice of the Good Shepherd completely, I want to talk a little bit about the second reading today from the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is a series of visions by John. John wrote this book and he has these visions. And so here we begin this vision. I, John, had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count. And then he goes on to describe this multitude, and he gives a few different adjectives from every nation, race, people, and tongue, and where they were around the throne of the Lamb, and they're wearing white garments. And then they're described, this giant multitude, which no one could ever count, around the throne of the Lamb. And they are described as the ones who have survived the time of great distress. And what is the time of great distress? The time of great distress is this life. We're in it, okay? This is the time of great distress. Life, my brothers and sisters, is difficult. It entails a certain amount of stress. It was stressful 2,000 years ago, it was stressful 50 years ago, and it's stressful today. It's stressful for the rich, and it's stressful for the poor. And the stresses are different. They were different 2,000 years ago than they are today, and they may be different for rich people and poor people, but in any case, stress is real. And we experience it at different times and different ways, and sometimes it can be really a great problem for people. I remember talking to somebody some years ago, and they were having some physiological problems. And they went to the doctor, and they said, "Hey, doc, I'm having this problem and that problem." At the end of the day, the doctor said, "It's stress." And they're like, "Oh, I'm sure there's some virus or bacteria that is attacking my body." And the doctor's like, "No, I think it's stress." And stress is real. And stress will kill you dead. It's a real burden. It can be. It's not supposed to be that bad, but we recognize the reality of stress. And what is stress? A simple definition is it's our body's response to taxing demands. That there are demands placed on us. And you know, I gave that definition at Mass earlier today, and there was a physics teacher in the audience, okay? And he said, "Hey, there's a physical formula for stress too, and that is it's the force over an area, okay? And then there's a definition for strain as well. And the reaction of some material to the stress is the strain on it, you know? And so there is this kind of parallel. Our lives have stress in every way now, but life is not supposed to be just one giant pressure cooker and burden of stress. That's not what it's supposed to be. In spite of the reality that we do live in a time of great distress, and hopefully we're on our way to that great multitude around the throne of God in heaven, having washed clean our robes in the blood of the Lamb. But we have to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. The voice of the Good Shepherd. With Jesus to lead us, we can survive and even thrive as we wait for his return. I, John, had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count from every nation, race, people, and tongue. And they stood around the throne before the Lamb wearing the white robes. And one of the elders said, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So, this 2,000 years ago, when John speaks of the time of great distress, he could be talking about our time, but you know, we have different stresses than they. We have today some things they didn't have back then. We have some good things like hot and cold running water and electricity and the freedom to own property, the freedom here to assemble and worship. We have laws that regulate how employees can be treated for the most part, air conditioning, comfortable cars, entertainment, food from all over the world at our fingertips all the time, health care and decongestants and antacids and all of those things, right? We have all of these things that help us in our lives with different stresses and difficulties that other people in other ages didn't have. But you know what we do have in our life today, and I hope I'm not describing you, but there's no doubt in my mind I'm describing somebody you know. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm going to describe one of your family members or one of your friends or one of your coworkers. One of the great stresses that we have in life now is people forget who they are. They forget the dignity that God has given them. They forget that they were made in the image and likeness of God. They forget the direction of their life. See, and this is a great stress, because when we forget the direction of our life, we become lost. And to be lost is a great stress. You know, and then life becomes pointless. Life becomes pointless when we don't have a direction, directionless. And if our life is without direction, then we're going to be led by all the whims and the wants that come up, and they're going to get us in trouble. They're going to get us in all kinds of trouble. You know, I was thinking about our lives, but we do have a direction in our lives. We do have a destiny in our lives. We are anticipating, or we should be anticipating, joining that great crowd, that multitude of people from every nation, tongue, people. And that is our destiny, and that's where we're going, and we need to keep all of the things that might distract us from that journey out of our lives and listen to the voice of who? The voice of the Good Shepherd to keep us on the way. Thinking about this idea of a life being pointless, and when we were repainting the church, you see up in the background behind the angels up there, you see the little stars or the compasses. I don't know what they were, whether they're stars or compasses, or what they are, but I guess they're both, because what did we navigate by before we had a compass? We used the stars, and you know, and God is who gives us the direction to our life, and without a direction to our lives, then you know, all that abundant food that we have all the time, all of those blessings that we have that people in the past didn't, then those things become distractions and we begin to get caught up in them and lost in them. We have the collapse of the family happening, divorce, children with no one to take care of them. And when a child's, when they suffer, and I'm sorry to talk about this, but it's the truth. Children can have a deep sense of insecurity and loss and stress when their family breaks up. And that's real. And that is what we need the voice of the Good Shepherd to lead us through. You know, another thing that's happening more and more, and I'm sad to say, I read about something just today that someone went into a Catholic church and killed the priest and a number of parishioners. This is in a foreign country, but nonetheless, this is happening more and more. More and more. And the church is being persecuted from inside. And we're all too familiar with that Satan has come inside. And so there's a stress that comes, isn't there? And so, my brothers and sisters, we have to be able to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. As a result of the stresses in our lives, there's a temptation to become more hurried, more frazzled, less courteous, even have a mental breakdown. But my brothers and sisters, our lives do have a point, and our lives do have a purpose, and our sufferings can help us tune in to the voice of the Good Shepherd. There was as I was putting together this sermon, I read Psalm number 34. In Psalm number 34, the book of Psalms, it's a poor man. And this poor man says, it's a poem or song that he wrote. He says, I called out to God in my distress, and he answered me. I called out to God in my distress, and he answered me. And so we call out to God in our distress, and we listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. And the voice of the Good Shepherd will lead us on the way. You know, how do we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? By prayer. By carving out some time in our lives for silence. By listening to the wisdom of our mom and dad. At least hearing what they have to say. At least respectfully honoring our mom and dad. Striving for a stable relationship in our lives. A firm foundation. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. How do we do that? By reading the Word of God. By spending some time praying over the sacred scripture. You know, Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And when we follow Jesus, our lives are not directionless, are not pointless. We're going somewhere. And it might not always be an easy journey, but it's much better than being a journey to nowhere. Because a journey to nowhere, we're lost, and then there becomes stress invades our souls. Now, some stress is good and some stress is bad, but we handle the stress in our lives with the faith of God, remembering this truth. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, as I was putting to another thing I came across, you've heard of Mark Twain, haven't you? Some of you have heard of my famous author. Mark Twain said this, and it's so true. It's true of my life. Maybe it's true of your life too. Mark Twain said, I have lived a long life and I have seen many troubles, most of which never happened, you know. And so we worry. We're stressed out about what might happen, and it never happens. And you know, what is one of the most important things that the Good Shepherd tells us? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and don't worry about so many other things. And he also tells us, give us this day, pray like this, give us this day our daily bread. Let me worry about today's problems, not the problems that may or may not ever happen in the future. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that as John had his vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue, standing around the throne of God, wearing their white robes with palm branches in their hands, And then he describes them. These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. May we be washed, and may our lives have direction, and we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd.